Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Mike Dunn, Executive Editor, and Jennifer McLaughlin, Editor-in-Chief of LA Travel Magazine, to discuss how the world of publishing a print magazine requires digital, social media, events, promotions in today's publishing world. Mike and Jen, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
To get things started, why don't we tell the audience a little bit about yourselves and about the magazine, and I'll let you decide who wants to go first.
All right. I can start, I guess. So we are LA Travel Magazine, as you said, husband and wife, power couple. Some people like to call us that. We like to think we're entrepreneurs. And basically what I look at is we're doing what we love. We're traveling the world. We have a great group of people that work with us and for us around the world. Actually, we have 37 travel writers that work with us in different countries. And we like to think that we are bringing the best of the world to people to see through our magazine. And we've been doing this for, I would think, over six or seven years.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it's relatively new from a publishing standpoint.
Sure, yeah.
To us, yeah.
To you. Yeah. Now I'm gonna ask how you both got into that, because I know you were writing and stuff for other magazines prior to starting this.
We both were.
You both were. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you had a passion and a love for this and said, hey, if they can do it, damn it, I can do it, right?
There is a story, though, right?
Something like that.
I want to hear that story. Well, why don't you tell them about yourself, and then why don't you tell the story?
Yeah, so I went to school for hospitality and travel, so it's something that has always been a priority to me, to making into a career. I remember, when I was young, telling my mom, I'm going to live in a hotel, and she would laugh, so it's definitely not far from the truth these days. But I started my career in hospitality in the hotel world. Definitely did a little bit of everything. I helped work in, an airport. I worked for a tourism board. So I've done PR and marketing, and then, of course, sales. So it's all-encompassing, and it definitely kind of led me to where I am with the magazine today.
Okay. So let's start there, though. Let's tell the story. I have a couple standard questions that I always ask, but I want to hear the story about, you woke up one day and said, hey, let's start a magazine.
Yeah.
Right?
Unfortunately, it didn't happen like that.
Yeah.
So, as we said before, we were both travel writing for different publications, and just really experiencing that this travel writing world was incredible. It was one of those things you had to pinch yourself, is this really happening? Because we were able to go to destinations around the world and write about it and be treated like, actually, we've been told, better than celebrities. Because celebrities want to be kept alone. They want to be alone. They don't want to have people bothering them. So we were given the red carpet treatment. They were trying to get us to write about them the best possible way. So we were on a trip in the Caribbean, and on the way back flying home, I said, man, I know we write for other people, but there's got to be a way we can make this our own one day. I mean, what happens if we get home and the magazines close their doors? Mm-hmm. And she said, don't even put that out there. I said, well, I'm just saying, whatever. And we get home, guess what? They had closed their doors.
Oh, man.
And then she blamed me. You did this. You put it out into the universe. And I said, well, call it as it is, but let's make something happen out of this. So we were walking our dogs, and we were thinking, how could we possibly turn this into a positive situation? And we tried to purchase the magazine that went under, and for some reason it just didn't happen. And through researching, we found out that LA Travel Magazine was for sale. And I call that destiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had, obviously, the vacation we had just been given. In the PR world, they gave us $20,000, $30,000 vacation that we felt responsible to write for, because there was nowhere to write anymore. So we took over LA Travel Magazine, and within 3 weeks, we created our first print publication. So they were online only. They were digital. And we took it over, and we said, we have to put this into print, because I just didn't feel that it had the power if it was only digital. And in the hotel hospitality world, the people that own the resorts, the big ones, they want to see print publications. Right, they right. want something to, some tangible aim to hold on to. So we really just for 3 weeks we scrambled. We used all our resources, and we actually had a launch party in Hollywood, a red carpet launch party with paparazzi, city officials. I mean, it was incredible. We did that all in 3 weeks. We launched the magazine
and launched a brand new website.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah. So you guys were pulling in a lot of favors,
and
a lot of late nights.
Oh yes,
yeah,
it was a lot.
I mean, to go from frankly zero,
yeah,
to a published magazine in 3 weeks and an event, is pretty spectacular. And I mean, and if you think about it, the way, and we're going to talk about, you know, how the magazine and your marketing of the magazine and promotion of the magazine has really morphed into a lot of digital events and promotional events, and and again, you were mentioning all the writers around the world. So I mean, it's pretty incredible what you guys have done in a relatively short period of time. I mean, it really is a short period of time. When you talk to some publications, been around for, you know, 80, 90 years or something like that, and and it's crazy to me.
And we thank those publications because it helped us create a platform of what we didn't want, and what we felt wasn't working, and what we thought would be more relevant.
Well, so that's like 2013-ish, right?
Yeah, about 2012.
I mean, we're really talking about a trends going on in the industry was less paper, less printing, right? And but I agree with you in what you said. Is I mean, at the hotel. I mean, I know when we're on vacation or in a hotel, my wife, first thing she does, she grabs the magazine, starts thumbing through them, and so that certainly is still very vibrant for a lot of people, that tangible aspect.
Absolutely.
Especially in the travel sector. Like, I do, you know, I do look at the analytics, and out of all the magazines, travel still has a slight incline. It actually has not declined yet, like most other industry magazines. So we're still very lucky that people are very into visual, you know, handheld, you know, items, so they can kind of dream while they're maybe at a spa or they're on vacation.
Sure.
It's kind of like the perfect, or dream about their next vacation at home and start planning. I think, you know, most people are very visual that you want to see a destination, and it's different when you look at it online. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
No, it's like looking at our pictures on our cameras, right?
It's, first, like a beautifully well done photograph. It's a little different.
trying to preserve tradition a little bit too, as well. Like, you know, the day of the handshake and the, you know, the lunch without the cell phone. Like, that day is kind of going away, and I really think that it's trending now is trying to come back. That let's bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think tradition here is going to be, it's going to stay with us, but we're also evolving. We have to evolve, like you said, as far as the events and everything else. Using celebrities on the covers. I mean, these are things that as we've grown, we've decided that we had to constantly evolve.
Right.
We've had some really good mentors and, you know, people that have been there before or that are in different sectors would have told us, like, you should be doing X, Y, Z. And it's trial and error. A lot of it's trial and error.
Right. Well, I think, you know, if people, listeners out there, if you haven't read the magazine or seen the magazine, it's really beautifully well done. Congratulations on that. The photographs are spectacular. Stories are fantastic. And it really speaks well. And I could see, you know, from, again, I'll go 2013 to 2020, you know, the cachet that it really carries now to want to attract celebrities and other things that might want to be a part of it. I'm going to segue real quick, and I'll ask you each a different question.
Okay.
So when you think about I'll look at you, Jen.
Okay.
The continuous growth of the magazine.
Yes.
What keeps you up at night when you're thinking about that?
So many things. Printing costs, you know, and also there's this catch 22, as having a print magazine is great, and obviously I feel the need that we do need it, but of course, you know, I go back and forth from an eco-friendly standpoint too. That really bothers me. So, you know, just trying to find other ways to look at different things, whether it's through the events and working with, like, companies that are eco-friendly to help, you know, offset our carbon footprint that we're utilizing. That definitely bothers me personally. And then, of course, you know, always staying relevant and trying to, like, okay, what's the next best thing? Like, I just never shut off. My mind is constant. It's like, even when I'm on vacation, I'm looking at competitors. I'm researching. Sure. Like, I just can't shut it off.
Well, and you really, at the end of the day, I mean, not counting, you know, competitors, but you have two audiences. Mm-hmm. You have your readers, and you have your advertisers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to deliver the readers and certainly the quality of content in order for you to get advertisers.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you've got to get advertisers in order to have the quality content and all that. So, I mean, you really got a catch-22 going on a little bit. Mm-hmm. The chicken and the egg.
Trying to find a good balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Mike. So, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given to somebody?
Well, I think the number one thing that I've always thought was super important in business is you've got to be passionate about what you're doing. And I really believe that we are very passionate about it. And mm-hmm. we have a job that people always say, you guys have the best job in the world. And, you know, they're kind of right. We do, actually. Mm-hmm. We're able to travel the world for a job and do it in a nice setting and see a lot of incredible things. And if you look at our magazine and or our Facebook or Instagram over a 7-year period, it's incredible what we've actually been able to see and do. So that's probably number one, is you got to be passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And also, we were given some good advice a long time ago when we first started, was stay relevant in the industry, because in this kind of an industry, especially print, it's really easy to lose focus and just be, you know, gone with the winds, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many publications that unfortunately they've had to close their doors. So we basically, as we said earlier, we had to evolve. And one thing was doing the events. That was a real big one for us, adding the celebrities, and then just really, you know, focusing on digital a lot more as well. Because at first we were really focusing on the print, and there was some digital, of course, but now it's definitely 50-50. And, you know, we'll see where the future lies as far as the ratio.
Sure. Yep. And that's actually my next question I have for you guys, is about that evolution from print to all the events and the digital. And part of that is, now I've been to some of your events, and it seems like you have a lot of events and awards banquets, and, mm-hmm. you know, you're constantly doing things for your advertisers and for your readers and for your, to get people immersed in the magazine and the culture of it. So, what is the balance between, you know, what you're doing from a print side to all these other things that you're juggling? I mean, is there one particular strategy outside of the print vehicle that really helps you in growing the business and in getting more advertisers and readers?
You know, the number one thing for us is staying authentic, and that can be difficult when you do have, you know, when you do have to answer to advertisers. But we've been, you know, really, really specific about, like, not just accepting, you know, subpar content, and also trying to reinvent the wheel every year. Just because we have an event that works for 5 years doesn't mean, you know, it's still something we should keep doing if it's not, you know, if it's not, doesn't make sense. So the Reader's Choice Awards became the Luxury Travel Awards this year. We have it coming up on March 5th, and that's something, it's actually not an advertising thing for us. It's a completely marketing, it's a marketing strategy, but also a way for us to really recognize and be serious about the industry, because some people just look at it as just consumer base, and we're not. We're actually, you know, talking about topics within the industry, what's changing, what's developing in the Southern California region versus what's happening to national airlines that are coming, you know, into play with, you know, like the new people and the old people, like what's changing, what's happening. And we really try to stay relevant and let people know these things. And having something like the Luxury Travel Awards is a way for us to really recognize those that are going above and beyond. And it's, most of those awards come from our readers. So we are really listening to our readers. We do not choose who gets those awards. It's completely up to them. And I think it gives them a voice that we get to recognize, obviously, in a big celebration mm-hmm. at the end of it all, and celebrate, you know, those businesses that are really stepping it up and providing that extra step in hospitality and service.
Okay. Yeah. And I know you do a lot of, I'll call them smaller events. I think I attended one at a Porsche dealer mm-hmm. Last year, and one at the, I forget, it was really cold, that's all I remember.
it was really cold.
It was, I can remember, I was over in one of the parks, wasn't it in the Great Park?
Oh, New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Yeah, yes. That was really cold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the weather turned on us then.
That was an unexpected windstorm that we never have in Orange County. Usually, we get those at a certain point of time, and we had it in January, which was...
But it was freezing cold wind, too.
Yeah, so that was an interesting
event. I remember I was huddling in one tent and being encouraged to go outside, and I was like, yeah, absolutely not. I'm very comfortable.
I mean, luckily
right here.
It was New Year's, and the champagne was flowing, so it helped warm people up a little bit.
Okay, tough question. Okay. If you could do it over again, what would you do different?
I could tell you.
You guys looked right
things,
at you look right at each other. I'm not speaking. He says.
I mean, with time comes experience, and you know, you get educated the more your business grows. So, like in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have put such a strict time frame turnaround on our first product. I probably would have allowed a normal amount of time from.
Well, we had to.
I mean, we definitely did it fast and. Looking back, you know, as we've grown throughout the years, and you can see it through the publication, if you were to look at the first one to now, it's a night and day difference. So to me, I think that's a great thing because it is showing that we are evolving and the product is getting better. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, I wouldn't take away that part, but
okay,
I would give myself
I don't think
more
I would
time.
Do anything different. I think we did it exactly how it was supposed to be done. And I say it all the time, no pressure, no diamonds, right?
Yeah.
That's why it was made so fast and done so well. I mean, we had people the first launch party like, this is incredible, and we're like, if only they knew we did this in 3 weeks.
Well, you set a high bar, and then you just had to keep going
from there,
right?
Of course.
So you mentioned the word. I think you mentioned it, innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how do you challenge yourselves each year and think about it? I mean, a lot of companies, right? It's about how do we innovate, how do we disrupt, how do we do things differently. Mm-hmm. What's your strategy when it comes to constantly innovating so it doesn't get stale, doesn't get old?
Again, listening to our readers and followers, I think, is really important because they kind of direct us to what they want to see. But we definitely, it's not really a strategy per se. I would say it's more of just an observation of what's going on in our current environment, what's happening around the world. And we're still small enough that we can make those decisions. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go through 100 different channels to get something done.
Or a parent company.
Right. Yeah. So we're very lucky, you know, to be in that position because, obviously, coming from a corporate world, we know what it's like to really get things done in a corporate environment. And it's not always easy.
Yeah. So, and you guys may or may not know this, so I have a market research background as well as that I use in my marketing. So when you start talking about voice of the customer, how do you gather that voice of the customer?
Oh, they talk to us through social. You know, we have an open email. You know, so of course we all see those emails that come through on the contact us page, and yeah, I mean they'll call us out when something's not right, we see it. They'll call us right out if their shipping didn't get delivered in time, or I mean we just had to deal with something the other day about the post office delivered one of somebody's subscription, and they had damaged it in the process. Clearly, we don't send them out like that, but they called us right out. We took care of it. Again, we can respond quickly. We can hear what they have to say, and if they didn't like something in event. We'll know about it to know to next time. Scratch that. Let's try this. You know, so we can make those. And obviously, we're all human. Nothing's ever going to be 100% perfect. So it's good to hear what they have to say at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Well, that's how you learn and can evolve the magazine, right? If you two are just constantly making all the decisions and not listening to your readers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
And there'd be no business without them.
Yeah, well, exactly.
We need them. So,
plus, there's
of course,
a lot
we're valuable.
Yeah,
we
there's a lot of face-to-face as well, because the fact we have so many events,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our readers are there all the time, so.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And you've been to our events.
And
you
I've
know,
been
like,
to a few of your
to,
events, yeah.
We kind of work the room, and we'll talk to everybody, and we don't feel like we're, you know, on a certain level where we can't mingle and, you know, find out why people are there, how they found out about it, you know.
And I think that's important, yeah. And you are engaged. I mean, I've been to a few of your events, mm-hmm. and you guys are very engaging with the people that are there. And I think that really bodes well for you portraying, you know, the kind of the personality of the brand itself, and because it's really coming from you guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, believe it or not, we're down to 5 minutes.
All right.
So I did want to ask, I have a lot of questions.
Take the tough questions.
No. So... What's the best trip? We'll make them short answers. What's the best trip?
Oh, that's an easy one. The Maldives.
Maldives.
Yeah. I'm constantly searching to see, is there a place better than the Maldives? And I don't think there is.
All right.
Yeah.
How about you?
So I'm going to say our wedding.
that's different. That's not a trip.
But we love Ireland.
Yeah.
We're going back in 2 weeks, and that's kind of a second home to us.
We're going for St. Paddy's Day.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, Paul the engineer is Irish. He's giving a thumbs up over there.
Awesome. I think we're all Irish, aren't we?
It seems somewhere like, along the way, yeah.
Like Irish or Italian, one of them.
Well, I've had shows where we've actually been drinking, so we do a little bit of both here on this show. Actually, I've got a tequila guy coming in a couple of weeks, and he's going to bring his tequila, but we've had whiskeys. And
so you don't invite us on that day.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. We might be looking at a new studio, right, with a little more people, so we can that. The other thing that's really interesting, and you mentioned at the very beginning, is all the writers that you have around the world. Mm-hmm. So it's not just emanating from here and you're sending people out. I mean, you're really being able to tap into those. How much do you guys write?
Depends on the issue.
Yeah.
We always do an editor's pick.
Whatever we've done personally. So, unless you said each issue, there's an editor's pick that everybody wants that, right? So as far as from an editorial standpoint, the public relations world is always trying to get us to go to do the editor's pick, the one big story.
So we'll do a specific, we'll pick a specific destination that we're both really interested in, and we write it together.
Okay.
Just so that, it's something we both wanted to do. It's not anything that's forced. It's something that's pretty organic, and we try to do something different every quarter. So it could be, Canada one issue, the next one we're in the Maldives. So it just depends, where that hot spot really is.
So when you think about the next issue, or how many issues out are you already working on?
So the next one we're working on is Endless Summer.
Okay.
So that'll come out in June.
June, all right. So you're about 3-4 months ahead?
We're about, I would say about two.
2 months?
Because it's due in production a month
you got
before.
Production issue. Okay. And so you're obviously pre-planning those. So you actually have to take the trip now.
Yes.
In order to.
Yes. So we'll be taking it next month.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll come back, give ourselves about a month to put it together, and then it goes to.
Do you write it when you're on the trip, or you wait to come on?
No.
No. No, because we found that
it
really takes away from the experience instead of we're like paying attention to writing notes versus like visual and just taking it all in as we're going. So we actually, and the good thing about having two people is if I forget something, he has a different opinion on something. Vice versa, we kind of just build it together.
Okay. And we've seen both. We actually just did an incredible trip to, it was to the north of Indonesia, but just the west
Raja
of
Ampat?
Papua New Guinea. We went on the world's most luxurious sailboat. It was an incredible experience, and it was all travel writers on there, from Condé Nast Traveler, Forbes, and us, and we noticed some people on there, they were taking notes, and they didn't seem like they're having as much fun as we were, right?
So, yeah. All right, that's a good idea.
Kind of a personal approach.
All right, so we're down to the last couple minutes, and I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can subscribe and maybe find out about some of your events. Well, let's just do that.
Okay. Well, of course, you can go to our website, which is latravelmagazine.com. You can subscribe right on the homepage. It's very simple, easy. And actually, our subscribers are the first to get dibs on any of our events. So, and they get special discounts. So it's definitely worth it to be a subscriber. And then we also have our social channels, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And then, of course, Eventbrite is where most of our events are hosted off of.
Okay. And then, I don't know the answer to this, but I will ask, are you on newsstands as well?
We are not, actually. That's a good piece of business advice we learned very upfront.
Not to be.
It is not. You will not make a dime on it. So we've chosen a different approach.
Okay. So if you're listening out there, you will not find them in the grocery line.
No, you will not.
All right. And how can they connect with both of you? On LinkedIn?
So I'm on Instagram at Mrs. LA Travel, and he is Mr. LA Travel. So we're very easy to find.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other upcoming events that you want to promote?
Well, we do have our Luxury Travel Awards. It's an industry event coming up on March 5th. And then we have our Best of SoCal with Porsche this year. And that is actually taking place in Orange County. It'll be in Irvine, and that's on the 28th of March.
Okay, so if people go online and subscribe, they can get invited, or they can go and buy a ticket.
Yes, then they'll get a special discounted rate. If they're a subscriber. If not, they can go on Eventbrite and pay full price if they really want to.
All right, well, you know what, is that the one I went to last year?
That was Mixology Masters, I believe, wasn't it? At Porsche?
Yeah.
You went to McDonald's. No, you went to the Knight and Lux in Newport.
Newport.
Yeah, the Porsche dealer.
This
there.
Is did two
much
Porsche,
bigger.
Yeah.
Much that, bigger. Was, that one was a smaller event.
Okay. Well, if that's any indication, if you're listening out there, and it's going to be bigger and better,
yes.
Get your tickets now. What more importantly, subscribe to the magazine.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. This
Thank
has been fun. I hopefully you had
Thank
a good
you.
Time.
Absolutely.
All right. Here comes my commercial. Thank you for joining me at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of working with a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to invite others to subscribe so they can benefit from the great content like we heard today. Or you can sign up at the Business Growth Cafe, or you can find me on any major podcast platform around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.